You're listening to what Lord Freeza and I love to listen to, Oklahoma's favorite podcast, The Elijah Bailey Show. Wait, Lord Freeza, don't start the show without me.
Choppy today. Things are a little dicey. But what's up, everybody? We're back. Let me start this the old way, the original way.
The old England way.
That's right. Not the Dr. Wiley way. Not...
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wiley.
You forgot about Dr. Wiley.
I still got Dr. Wiley on the other computer.
You do? I got an email from Venmo about like, oh, you need to do this or somebody trying to get in your account. I was like, y'all told me I can't pull music from there no more. So
he's like, fuck y'all.
Yeah, I ain't nothing to do here.
That is where we got that from. Yeah, I remember now.
Let's do this like in the old days. And 3, 2, 1. Welcome and welcome back to your weekly source of anime, comics, video games, and pop culture news, reviews, opinions, and more here on the Elijah Bailey Show, where we believe that butt-naked heroes or villains really are always the best. Every single one of them. You don't know who I'm talking about because I know you haven't even watched the series yet because you've been on your own journey.
But butt-naked villains is a factual thing.
It's factual.
As one of our articles we'll see later on down the road, you know, Griffin, at that moment that he realized this ain't what I want, he was butt-naked on the side of the bed of Charlotte.
Was
that her name, Charlotte? I think her name was Charlotte. Yeah.
Back.
He was sitting there on the side of the bed, head down like...
I think her name is Charlotte, yeah.
This ain't what I want.
No, I got to get Casca. I got to let Guts know.
I need more melon in these cheeks.
Hey, this was
a tad bit too pale for me. I am pale enough, baby girl. I need a little bit more melon.
And then... they fucked him up. They had the gremlin of the castle fuck him up for years. Until Gus came back. Gus like, oh, I'm going to come in here and save him.
Hey,
you ain't nothing but a toothpick, buddy.
Yeah, they chopped his tongue off in the whole 9 yards.
Ugh, a lot of shit. Back in the biggest and baddest of ways, I'm one of your hosts, one of the Straw Hat Grand Fleet, Elijah 5000. And back is the man who is undead, but not without the unluck. The Mohawked mercenary, the Buckety. Look at it. Nice.
Thank you.
Neat upside his head. You can see
the darkness
on his everything.
Yes. Don't mistake me. No less melon than I got it.
How you doing today? It's Saturday.
Doing good. I gotta make an announcement real quick, okay? I gotta make an announcement.
Go ahead.
And a portion of this announcement, I got to emphasize something. So, since we're talking about light skins, I have to the grandfather of light skins wanted me to make sure I tell Elijah Bailey.
Tell me.
Is Boz's last name Brown?
Yeah, Bosman Brown.
You sure it's Brown? That sounds so basic. I feel like it was something.
It's BB and Brown.
Yeah, it is BB. It is BB.
I was like, oh, like that's the same name as my cousin. So, okay, cool.
Okay.
It's easy to remember.
Bosman Brown. Josh told me to tell y'all thank you.
You're welcome.
For leaving me hanging.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, he's going to remember this. And anytime that y'all say y'all going to do something, he's going to feel like you guys are just going to set him up again. But in y'all's also defense, he also mentioned back up right after that. He was like, honestly, I'm glad they didn't come out here because Teray cooking a little bit extra breakfast this morning would not have compensated the agony of how hard this was. So, yeah, he's like, I'm not even mad at them. But I have to say something to Mr. Bosman.
Okay.
Just let go of the belt, man. Like, why are you hoarding a belt that... is no longer yours. Like, you're no longer. It's not yours. It's not yours. It's just. It's okay. Just what it is. You know what I'm saying? It's not yours. Let it go.
For all Basuit fans out there, this is what Harvey and Mike do all the time. They tell somebody they're going to do something and switch it up. They be inviting Boz to places where a belt has no business out in the public eye like that. And you be like, man, did you bring that belt? Did you bring the belt? You know he didn't bring it.
He didn't bring it. He didn't bring it to the tournament.
No, yeah, that's true. Boz says, I'm keeping everything.
He's hoarding. But anyway, how you been, sir? How's it going with you?
Well, it's pretty good, like, lately. We'll dive into more of where we have been, but lately it's been good finding time to take the boys out on a WALK, which they even figure that out.
I can't even spell this inside this house. You're looking at me now. They about to come in this room now.
They're already in here. That's why I was looking.
Where are we going?
Stay asleep. Don't listen to me. But watching shows, reading, writing, getting back to the gym, all the good stuff. Like, everything has been moving in the same progression that we've been talking about the last couple of months. Like, growth mindset for everything. There's certain aspects that are consistently moving forward, which are cool. And then other stuff that just got to work on to get there. Or it might be stuff that you just leave because it's not for you. So, but everything's been good. We've been having some. We had that Fighters game night. That was good.
Yeah.
Got me playing again.
Yeah, that was cool. I'm definitely down to jump on it again. I'm this close in buying 2K. The wrestling. I keep seeing people playing it. I just keep getting all like, ugh. The only thing that's making me not do it is the fact that I'm still playing Final Fantasy.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. I haven't picked it up. There's a couple games I haven't picked up, but I plan on picking it up. Because they did a good job. So, but how I need to ask you, because we hadn't talked about it for probably like a week, but how's TikTok going? Like TikTok live studio.
I can't get it to stream. I don't have access on my end.
It's weird. It took them after my 14 days, I think it was like 2 days after, then they sent me an email confirmation because I'd already met the requirements. So I think because it's still out in beta, there's a lot
You know what? Maybe we got to look in the Elijah Bailey folder email. Maybe something
went there.
Went there, possibly.
Because you opened up Streamlabs and then did the application, right? From there,
I think so.
Yeah, and then you gotta wait a couple of days, and they'll tell you if you're approved or not. And even when I was waiting, though, I was able to open up Live Studio and do like go through everything.
Yeah, I was able to play around with it. I was able to, you know, test it out, get the internet speed just right, run their little tests, do the description, add the pictures, add the video, add the sources to it all. Yeah. I was able to do all that, but. Every time I try to find, you know, how to go live, it'd just be like, nah, you can't come in the club, my boy. You can't come in. So, but I'm not giving up yet. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep working on it because that's something definitely I want to be able to play with and, you know, put on some Toonani Aftermath playing in the background while I'm editing or something like that. Dude, like a mosquito just came in here and bit me. You see this? You see this bump right here? Can you see that?
You're about to be Baxter Stockman from the Ninja Turtles. You're going to turn into a fly and shit.
Man, that's what it feels like.
You don't be checking anyway, for mosquitoes in your house?
I'm in the office in the garage, so you just never know what's in here.
You know what you could do? You could go to Lowe's or Walmart or somewhere and get like little dunks. They come in a pack of 12, I think. And you get a bucket, fill it up with water, and you really only need one. Put that in there. And let it dissolve and shit. And I'd probably put like some grass on top, and the mosquitoes and shit like that will go there. They'll lay their eggs, and then they'll sink down into the water, so they won't get a chance to actually hatch.
Oh, I see. Interesting.
Yeah. They do that a lot on golf courses and shit like that. We started doing that a year ago.
Really? Pretty legit.
Yeah, we had one on the right side and the left side of the house.
Okay, I'm about to jump on that. I'm about to jump on that because This is an inconvenience. It's like
life hacks.
Yeah.
Life hacks.
But how was it with you being able to do the TikTok stream? Like, what's the things that you have probably noticed? Like, what's the difference between, or even if there is a difference between streaming on, like, you know, Twitch and TikTok?
I'll say that the studio, like most studios, like, because if you do stream deck or anything like that, it's a very simple, user-friendly interface, but also it leaves a lot to the imagination. So, like Streamlabs, you have all these deals. You have a more defined mixer, a more defined scene library. You have all your outlets to go to the website, and everything's integrated through there. And with TikTok, it's not integrated completely, because I had to have the desktop up as well as I had the lab sometimes just to get stuff to go. But as far as like kind of getting you set up quicker, I could see like a new streamer being able to just hop on real quick, pull up a screen, make sure they have a mic, and then, you know, you just go through that little bitty description area they have and then go live. So like as far as the functions, it's very simple, very easy. I streamed, I think they have you stream a total of three hours, maybe 4 hours to like meet all the requirements, because you need two streams or at least like 30 minutes, two 25 minute streams. Then you got to hit like minute indexes on some other stuff, but they compile on each one. So it's never like I make it to a goal, achieve that goal, and they set a new one. It's like, hey, you need to stream for 30 minutes. Next goal will be like 60 minutes. And that's really just an additional 30. So, but I will say, trying to get access to get live, I've got access now, and there's still no stream key, so I don't even know why it shows up on Stream Elements or Streamlabs. So it's like, don't put a stream key up here. Yeah. Like you said, I'd get 14-day access. Within that 14 days, I can complete requirements, get 180-day access, and then still within that 14 days, if I continue the last two steps, which are just stream two times for 30 minutes, then you get access to 180 days without having to re-verify. Or if you do, it'll be later on down the road. But I think it was 180 days unlimited. Like, you don't have to reach any more goals. You don't have to do anything else. You can just stream indefinitely from there. So I'd say it's a nice system, but it wouldn't be my first choice.
Gotcha. So how would you compare the whole community aspect of it?
TikTok's got its own deal. They know what they're doing. You get a lot of people that come through. You generate a lot of traffic. Same thing you see a lot of places. Certain people will comment because they want to comment, and other people just want to come and watch. So,
yeah, the lurkers.
Yeah. And I mean, you came on there. You were chatting it up. There's other people chatting it up. They could give hearts. People do the microtransactions to send like gifts or whatever the fuck it is that's on there. But the deal that I did really like is it allowed me to stream the gameplay, the anime that we were watching. So anytime I play Dragon Ball FighterZ,
yeah, a lot of stuff going on. Yeah, a lot of stuff. Even when you was playing the One Piece, you had a bunch of
One Piece clips.
Yeah, you had the clips going on, the game, and your camera going on.
And that's all.
The last one looks like it was running pretty smooth.
Yeah, that's when everything, I didn't have any stops, I didn't have any issues, because early on, the first couple of days, it could have been the internet, which I strongly think it was, because Cox is shit.
Yeah.
But there were some other issues that were going on that was like, okay, maybe I don't have access to this right now. And certain things did unlock restrictions as I kept going. And then some things like, I don't even know what this function is, why this was coded into the system, because it doesn't make sense for what I'm trying to do. So it was very eye-opening.
Learning experience.
Yeah. About how they do their stuff versus Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, Caffeine, Kick. It was just this his own little mini beast. I don't think I'd be as, I don't know, I'd figure it out regardless, but if I hadn't already done this, it'd probably been a lot tougher.
I see. if he didn't already have like what it takes to do this and that.
Mm-hmm. Like switch through stuff. But I mean, this is pretty easy. If I could get that integrated into Stream Deck, easy. Just boom, a push of the button.
Nice.
Oh, it's in lost focus on you. It's looking back there at Buggy in there.
I look at Buggy now.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
But before we continue, because we do, if you've never been here before, we have segments of this show. Segment one, we're going to address where we've been, where we were lost at sea. Segment two is like news. Segment three is the anime and manga of the month, which I do so much love because... Well, there's been a lot of stuff on that we've been watching. Cool.
I'm glad I left it. That's what it said. I was trying to think. And what the hell is my anime of the month? That's perfect because I actually just watched some more episodes of that last night.
Yeah, I still ain't seen it because I don't have Max, but I seen clips. It's clean. Let's give a shout out to our sponsors. If you look down in the lower corner, you'll get to see that we have two little symbols down there, two logos, one for Switchery and one for Emmy Eat. So if you don't know either one of these great commercial Titan giants,
hey, keep
from
getting
the
on these sponsors real quick. Let me,
hey, no,
let
I got you. I got you. Let me give you the rundown. Switchery.com. If you go there, then the one thing that you have to do is use our promo code EDGE10 to get 10% off your purchase. What can you buy there? Switcheries is the world's largest online store for Nintendo Switch, Nintendo Switch Lite, OLED accessories, protective cases, and thumb grip. So whatever you want, if you want a video game theme, if you want an anime theme, or just like a nice chill lo-fi vibe theme, you can go to their website, check out all of their stuff, and see which one you want to purchase. Now, again, if you use EDGE10 to check out, you get 10% off from us, but... do not stop there. While you're playing your Nintendo Switch with your I Have a Raichu and Pikachu case, with your case on your Switch, you can also eat the world's first low-carb, high-protein, plant-based ramen. You know it from emmyeats.com. Use our promo code EDGE2G to get $5 off your purchase. You can find them in select stores, but online, they'll ship them straight to you. They originally had like three flavors. Now they got six. But again, Emmy Eats, IMMIEats.com or Switcheries.com. Go there, use our promo code. At Switchery, it's EDGE10, and Emmy Eats is EDGE2G. So where'd you run off to?
Oh, I heard the boys yelling too loud. You know, DeAndre went to Chicken and Waffle or Waffle Champion. So I was, you know, I'm kind of low.
Why'd she go to Waffle Champion?
You say what?
Why'd she go to Waffle Champion? What's over
is
there?
Fire? Well, you know, we got one up the street now in Edmond.
No, see, I didn't know that. I thought she came all the way down to Midtown. Okay.
Oh, well, yeah, there's one sense. Right up the street. Nah, like, it's just old Kelly.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's like a Kelly and Coville, so it's not too far at all.
I got to check, because I've been down there, and I haven't been checking. I've just been kind of driving through. Oh shit!
Yeah, that area got a bunch of stuff. I know I kind of froze. Am I still frozen?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you were frozen, but my monitors went black, so it's blank for a second. But they can still hear us, so we good.
Okay.
Yeah, I gotta check it out. I mean, it really does not make sense for us to go to Edmond to eat, but I still want to check it out and see.
Yeah, because just about everything we got up here, y'all have it down there.
Copying, biting.
Yeah, 100%.
Like
Why
Luffy
not?
On Lucy.
It's good.
It's okay. It is good. I'm not going to lie. It is really good. Let's get into segment one because we were talking about, we've had several conversations on where we've been because this is episode 369. We've been gone for a couple of months.
It has been a hiatus.
It has been a unplanned hiatus with that too. I don't even know originally, like, what was going on originally before everything happened. The big stuff.
Don't get me lying.
The boys had...
I can't remember what started it. I think it was just the scheduling on my end. Kanan and his sports and after-school programs. Mm-hmm. That's right, because I think that's what derailed us from doing on Tuesdays.
Mm-hmm. And we restructured.
And
picked,
Yeah, so we were trying to land Saturdays. Saturday mornings, which is sometimes just hard.
Yeah, work.
Work. And I think that just started kind of spiraling to all the stuff that you start having to deal with. Life was like, hey, Elijah, let me
slow down a bit.
Let me get up in these cheeks.
All up in between.
Let me get up in these cheeks. No lube. I like it tough and rough.
Don't we all?
Friction.
Don't we all? And when we talk about friction, life, that's the only way.
Yeah, I want friction.
Yeah, like I think it really first started like in November-ish. I remember my mom's like, hey, grandma wants to talk to you. And then grandma sent me a text and I was like, okay, it was very fast. It took me to like, cause of the schedule and shit, it took me to like the end of the week to be able to go over to my mom's house and sit down with her. And then that's when my grandma was like, yeah, I'm just taking my time to tell everybody one-on-one, you know, just her way, that went to the doctor. They don't know why, but both my kidneys shut down. And if you don't know anything about the body, like as a kinesiologist, like, oh, well, you have to have kidney function. If you don't have kidney function, you're going to die. So that is not good. What's the plan? Just sitting there listening to her. She had already prepared for everything and they were going to do dialysis. Then she had to go have surgery to get the ports put in. And then my mom and them had to do a class too, which was like a week long. So it's like checking on grandma, checking on grandpa, so they would know how to do dialysis.
Yeah.
And everything was going good. But one of the issues, because I almost said condition, one of the issues was grandma's sister, who passed away like a year and a half before, had the same thing on dialysis. Dialysis did not work for her. And she ended up passing sooner because you can extend your life 5 to 10 years. With dialysis. And so she got on it, and like it was around the later half of December, like after my birthday, towards January. Yeah, I'd probably say like mid-December, because I had to leave. I'm frozen.
Yeah, I think we're both frozen, but the audio is still recording.
Okay, yeah, there we go. God, it was I don't know how far back in December, but stuff started going bad. Like, she had the same issues as her sister. Dialysis wasn't working. I remember one night me and Jessica went up to the hospital, and we were there from, like, midnight, at least midnight, if not before, until, like, 3 a.m. And it sucked because grandma's to the point, like, she was steadily, every time I saw her, she just lost more and more weight. And she couldn't get any sleep. She had a knee surgery a couple months ago, and her knee was bothering her, and we later found out that with her losing weight and the things that were going on, I think just whatever was fixed within there was weak, didn't have a lot of power, didn't have a lot of connectivity still, and so she's getting injured. I think by the end of it, she had like 3 knee surgeries, and then they had to like put pins and poles in her legs to keep it straight because she was so low on potassium. She was shaking every couple of minutes until she couldn't get to sleep. She'd be up for like days and hours and stuff like that. So we went over there and, you know, lift her up and let her lean on me so she could try to get a little bit of sleep, because if she's sitting up, hopefully that would help the dialysis. But the machine kept stopping every so often, and the guy, the tech, lived like 45 minutes away, and they really didn't want to call him in. I was like, get this motherfucker up and over here, get this in, and then she sleeps, and then we don't have to worry about it, because she has to have the dialysis. So it just progressively got worse, and January 4th, we went to the hospital, and then we all had to have a, like, who all was there? I think everybody was there. My uncle, my aunt, my mom, my cousins, except for one, which we had him on the phone, and we just had to figure out, like, were we going to try to, it's like a couple options. One, her dialysis, she hadn't had dialysis. She'd also crashed, so they had to resuscitate her. And so that hospital she was in didn't specialize in dialysis, so they needed to get her to another hospital, but they couldn't transport her because, quite frankly, there was like a 1% chance that she would make it. Then they said if they continued with her, her lungs and her heart had been tore up so much that really there's no, the quality of life afterwards, you can't repair those. In the state she's in, she doesn't have enough anything, nutrient, energy, any of that stuff to repair. So that was a loss. Or we could prepare, you know, comfort care. So just take care of her until she passes. So that means they would stop the breathing machine because she had to have a mask. She couldn't have the tube in just to keep her breathing. And I think after that, we left the hospital. And I think it was either later that evening or like the next day. And I think it was like the next day, probably around close to midnight or whatever. My mom sent a text and said she passed away. She wasn't taking any more breaths or anything like that on her own. And so we had the funeral like the 14th. And all throughout this, I've had my own issues. So I was dealing with
that. Nobody was like, shit.
My body just, all the training that I do, for everybody that's crazy and I overdo everything, it has made my body this resilient kind of muscular knot to where it makes it hard to figure out what things are happening. But when I get sick or something happens, it's like DEFCON 5 shit. So through everything with my grandma, like me going to help her and just working overnight in the conditions that we work in, I had walking pneumonia at some point in time. Never knew it. Kept working. On top of that, I was losing blood. So your hemoglobin, the amount of blood at a baseline, you're supposed to have like at least 13 in your, like the baseline number is 13. I was at a 4. And my skin and everything was going numb. I couldn't feel my muscles. My hands are still numb now. It should take a couple of months to come back with my, with the B12 that I'm taking, but I also had a stomach issue and they had me on aspirin, so that just continued to deplete my B12 to where I didn't have none and there was no bleed anywhere, so I don't know where my blood, where I was losing blood. But every time that they a few times they took blood, they just noticed that everything was destroying itself. Basically, it was just deteriorating, the cells were destroyed. And so I had a 4-day stint in the hospital towards the end of February, and it was just 60 something tests. I think overall I've taken like 70 something, maybe 80 blood tests. And they took a bone marrow. Yeah, but I don't mind needles. I just kept in there. I was like, man, like I got the big veins on the arm, so they always talk about, oh, it's so easy to see your veins. I'm like,
and they're just masturbating when they see just, your arms.
Dude.
They're the like, comments, oh, yes, let's touch these.
The
let's
comments,
touch these veiny, girthy arms.
The comments and then the treatment in the hospital. It was just insane. It was fun, though. I will say, back to the CGF factor, my last day at the hospital, they brought me milk, which I'm lactose intolerant. And I had, like, my stomach was, like, killing me. I dropped weight. I was, like, 180 pounds, which anybody knows me. I hate being under 210. But yeah. I lost, like, went from 200 to 180 in, like, a week and a half and then went in there. And so I had milk. And so I was like, oh, okay, it's 2 eggs, some milk, and oh, eat this. And then, man, I was farting my ass off. And
well, he was cutting up in there. Hey. They walk up. Hey, what's so bad? You couldn't get up, open the window? Nothing.
That's right. And it's funny because there was two women that came in. One was a girl. She was younger. She's probably in her 20s. Came in and asking questions, and she had to come draw my blood. And I was like, man, I just busted ass like 5 times. So I was laughing.
She was like, I know. Hey,
you know
we're
what,
trained
though?
Not to say nothing, but I definitely smell it.
That's actually it. She didn't say shit. She just did that. And then me and Jessica kept watching like Love is Blind and fucking going on. And then, like, after they told me I was discharged, I farted like 80 times in like 5 minutes. And
oh,
so,
sorry.
And the door was open. So the wheelchair, the transporter, she's supposed to take me in the wheelchair down. She like went past the room and she like kind of looked. And I was like, just kept going.
What the hell y'all doing up in there?
Then
y'all
she
was Jessica in there too.
Oh, yeah.
Jessica was like, oh, y'all doing some butt sex up in here. This is the atrocious.
Jessica came, I think, I don't even, she was there the whole time, but she left and came back and opened up the door. She's like, oh God, Elijah. I was like, hey, this ain't me.
I'm in the bed. I got the gown on.
This is the devil.
What you want me to do? I'm in the gown.
Actually, I didn't wear a gown. It was just like sweats and a shirt. I just said, Jessica went home and they didn't even give me a gown. That's how much they cared about me.
Damn.
But
they didn't have your booty out gown.
No, they didn't need that. The only time my booty was out was on the
booty out gown.
The only time I had the booty out gown on was when they did the biopsy. No, I didn't even have it on. I just pulled down my pants. And he was like, do you mind if I teach them how to do this? I'm like,
do you mind if I?
Okay. Look at your ass. No, he just shitty. My
God, what was it? What are you saying? The found guy, do you mind if I yell into your ass?
No, I couldn't let him do that. I'd have to be like, no, we're not doing that. Because when we first got there, I was feeling bad. They gave me shit to make me not throw up the first day. Immediately threw that shit up. And they're like, okay. And they told me, they was like, we don't have any rooms. And then after that happened, they're like, yeah, we got a room for you upstairs.
Yeah, we got a room for you.
And yeah. You're going to have to sign this.
Reliable if you leave out of here. You passed out.
That is exactly it. It was funny because we had this black nurse that came in. Well, we had so many nurses that talked about so many stuff. But the first one came in. She had to have me sign off on the waiver for my blood transfusion because I ended up getting like 5 bags of blood. Like they did 3 one night. My levels went up and then started going back down again. They were like, we really got to check and see where you're losing blood from. Don't see anywhere. So the next day they gave me, like, I was up late at night just sitting here with IVs and shit in my arm, just fucking watching One Piece on my phone. And
let Luffy guide you.
The guy that did the bone marrow biopsy was like, yeah, this is going to hurt, but this is what I'm going to do because they called me up. I travel from Dallas and do this, so you know he's a specialist. He's going to be charged out the ass and shit.
Hey.
And so he was like going through it.
Insurance hates that dude.
He started. Okay. They have a tool that's like a wine corkscrew.
Yeah.
But it's straight and it looks like a Phillips head on the end. So he stuck it into my skin and started turning so he could drill through the bone, which that didn't really hurt. He just said that my bones were real dense, which you get really dense bones from resistance training and work and things like that, or type of exercises or sports and shit like that. So he sat there for a while and finally got through. Then he removed the outer case and put like a tube within that tube so that way he could pull and look at the biopsy. And I asked Jessica, yeah. I was pissed. I wasn't pissed because I was like sitting there the whole time and one was like, it took him 1 second to get to the next one. It'd be like 5 seconds, and the last one was 10 seconds.
So it didn't take him too long.
Nah, but it. I mean,
it
if
felt so, like I know it felt probably long because it was an awkward situation. But
yeah, I would think if you're sensitive and you don't have a high pain threshold, because like from what I've heard and kind of what he was saying, I was like, oh, this is gonna hurt real bad. I'm gonna fill up my spine and stuff, but I felt it in the location. It is more severe than like stab with a needle because it's your muscle and stuff and they're having to pull like a biopsy, but it wasn't too bad. Like Jessica gave me her hand. She wanted me to squeeze. I just like, like a baby, just like right around. I was like, I'm not squeezing your hand. Cause if I squeeze for like what I'm feeling right now.
Yeah. I'm going to hurt you.
Yeah. I'm not going to do that to you. I'm just going
to
sit here.
I want to squeeze you that hard to where I'm. Yeah.
But
thank you though, babe.
Yeah, thank you 100%. But when I was sitting there, I just like was breathing, and the one that was supposed to hurt the most, it was the longest, probably like 3 seconds in after breathing, and just like, it's the same thing with practice. Like you may be tired of training. You've been training for like 2 hours. Let's do this. This is easy. I'm doing crunches or setups and your stomach starts burning. Take a deep breath. Don't focus on the burn. Keep going.
Keep pushing, yeah.
Yeah, it numbs itself. It goes away. So biopsy, 5 bags for blood transfusion in the hospital, 66 blood tests, fucking a shit ton of doctors coming in and asking me what happened and going over everything. Because like, oh,
that's
like,
why
like
I'm
this.
Here. That's why I'm here. I don't know.
I thought it was cancer and everything else. And turns out I had a thalassemia trait that got activated by the walking pneumonia they suspect, and then I need B12 injections, and we're trying to see how that goes, trying to see how fast my hands and the rest of my body is becoming, I say, alive. It feels like zombie skin. Like, if you put on zombie skin, like, wouldn't feel nothing. So It's weird. It's hard to do stuff at some times, and it was harder like a couple months back. So things are getting better. But that's where I was. Grandma's funeral and then hospital. And now I'm recovering. Go back to the doctor for some more blood work and shit in the middle of May. And then see if I get released to go to work or if I'm off for a little bit longer.
There we go.
That's where I've been.
The knitting caboodle. Is that what they call it?
The kitten caboodle.
The kitten.
The whole kitten caboodle, yeah. The
whole kitten caboodle.
I feel like a saying now. I feel like I just got stronger. That's all it was. There's nothing else.
Did I see that one video where what's that rooster's name?
Oh yeah, Foghorn Leghorn. Yeah,
did y'all see that video? He was talking mess on Vegeta. Yeah. He's like, oh yeah, I see why you were saying, because all you do is talk, but no action, boy.
And boy, no. See here.
He was a little bit more racist than I recall, but it was fun.
Oh yeah, definitely. But it was hilarious. It was laughing my ass off.
I think for me, man, just Final Fantasy VII.
Mm. Beautiful.
And just scheduling.
Now let me ask you this real quick about with the Final Fantasy VII. What's the thing that stood out the most to you that you weren't expecting?
It's funny, me and Josh were just talking about this. So this second disc is so much like the second disc back in the heyday.
Yeah.
Which is I'm going to say this very, very nicely as possible, because I am enjoying it, but it's 100% just bullshit disc. You're doing a lot of just random ass shit and a lot of random goofy ass shit. And you're just looking up like, okay,
I guess I did that.
This is what we're doing. Now, I remember talking to Josh about it, because the first disc, and even with Remake, it's hardcore story.
Yeah.
You got a few side things you're doing, but it's so focused on Avalanche. It's so focused on Shinra. It's so focused on Sephi. It's just boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
Second disc, and it ends on a good note. The second disc, you're chasing Sephiroth, if you say. While at the same time kind of being manipulated by him. So the beauty of it, though, and one thing I was telling Josh, is that the original Final Fantasy, it was, I wouldn't say it had holes in the story, plot holes, but there was a lot of things that was just kind of like, hey, why did this happen? Or where was this? Or why is this extra stuff going here? This is, you could tell they're taking a lot more time, in my opinion, really showing you the dynamic of a lot of the mental issues of Cloud. How Sephiroth, how he was manipulating the situation a little bit better. The dynamics between those two is, in my opinion, better than what it was originally. You get to see it now. You get to see how dark, some of these scenes are. You get to see how his comrades are worried about him. Yeah. Where in the previous one, I don't really recall that too much. I just remember, y'all just, trying to thug it out, and Cloud has some issues. this one, you kind of, it's setting you up for what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So I'm enjoying that. Like I said, it has a lot of, like, I'm on my third, I guess, just date.
Yeah.
To Aerith. We just doing just random goofy stuff. We just got done playing a game.
Make you feel like a kid again.
Yeah, we just got done playing a game that reminds you of old school Star Fox.
Oh, okay.
Which was cool. But then, like, what happens is you look up, you're like, what am I doing?
Like, why am I wasting all this time?
Wasting all this time? Right now, I'm a little bit past halfway. I think I'm at like 58% done.
Anyway.
So I'm trailing onto the back end, and it's just, and I remember this stuff too. That's the sad part. When it happened, I'll be like, I remember this goofy stuff back in the day. So second disc is more, you're expanding your group. Mm-hmm. You're meeting a lot of new people going to ride with your party. And one thing that I'm looking forward to is that the third disc, from my remembering back in the day, was short. It was probably the shortest one. It was like, okay, we're done. Let's wrap it up. I can't see Square wrapping this up quickly just because of the fact that it's making so much money right now. Like, yes, they're making money on a story that they don't even have to freestyle. Like, it's already here. And they have made slight, small changes to the story, but in my opinion, the things that have changed is just trying to make more sense of this already overly confusing story. And just for anybody out there, I'm like a huge fanboy. There's, you can't see it right here, but this little thing you see flapping in the background. Can you see it? You probably can't see it on camera.
I saw the shadow.
It's a Sephiroth wall scroll. If you look up there in the rafters, there goes Sephiroth's blade.
Yeah.
I got a whole wing tattooed on my back shoulder, so I'm definitely a fan of it. I'm also gonna keep it real.
Yeah. It's not my cup of tea. It's kind of trashy.
Yeah. It's kind of aggressive, but it's beautiful. It's beautiful. The graphic is insanely dope. And even those random games, like I look up and I'm just sitting here enjoying them playing
for an hour. Yeah,
I just sit back up like, what the fuck am I doing? Damn.
You know what it is?
It's like you're playing Yakuza. Real talk, it's like playing Yakuza.
I was gonna say that.
You're loving Yakuza. You're loving it, and you get caught up, and you're hitting home runs.
And then you're in a discotheque, dancing with Michael Jackson.
Hey. You're like, what am I doing?
Hey, I love it. I did. We talked, and you had picked up One Piece Burning Blood and One Piece. Did you? Which one was it? Pirate Warriors or Odyssey or World
Not
Seeker?
Odyssey. I didn't pick up Odyssey.
World Seeker?
Don't
even know that damn game. You're being disrespectful as a One Piece fan right now.
Yeah, it's just for my lame ass disclosure excuse. It's purely just because I've been playing this Final Fantasy. Yeah. So I've purchased some games and just haven't
got around to playing them yet.
Haven't even played it yet. It is. I'm blowing up the PlayStation app right now. Mm-hmm. And because my internet at the house is kind of janky right now, it's looking at me kind of funny. It is.
Yeah, right.
That wasn't it. I see Berserk went back up in price.
Hell yeah, dude. And it don't make no sense.
It went back up to that $60. Yeah.
And it's not even worth, like, I love the game and love the series, but it's not worth that. They need to come out with some shit like Fist of North Star did recently for the PS4. They need to do one for PS5.
It then was Burning Blood and World Seeker.
Okay. Because I was telling you about...
That was on an aggressive discount. It was like...
$5, $4.99,
Yeah, I think I got them both for like $12.
Oof, nice. I've seen some stuff. I'm like, man, when y'all let them DLC prices drop, I'm about to scoop, because that's the deal that keeps me playing. Like, if you think of different game series, Naruto was the fact that the gameplay was like nobody else's. The online community stays beautiful. On.
Man, that fighting, when 2K dropped that fighting mechanic, dude, and the way they integrated with the story was fire. I mean, literally from Naruto Storm 1 to all the way, whatever they're on now, it's the exact same game mechanic. Like, they have not improved it whatsoever. It's the exact same bread and butter. Yeah. And they was able to do that each one and just, hey, take my money.
Gen Z trying to tell us about games. Our shit be working years after. We started playing this in middle school. We in the 30s, going 40s now. World Seeker, that's the one that you didn't know and I didn't tell you about. It's nice. It's a nice little RPG. It's different than all the other One Piece games.
I honestly, if I would have known how much of an RPG it was, I probably wouldn't have got it. I probably wouldn't have gotten it.
I think the deal that makes it good is DLC.
Those are slightly slower paced.
Yeah. But it's more open world than Odyssey, because Odyssey drops you. I think you'll like Odyssey more because it drops you in Alabasta. But there's, once you pull up the map, there's places you can fast travel to. You don't really have to spend too much time walking through everything, if that makes any sense. Like,
yeah, because that's how World Seeker is, right?
Yeah,
you're pretty much like Pokemon.
And you'll do Luffy, Sabo, Zoro. I think there's like one more DLC if they've got that like pretty cheap, which those stories are pretty good. And you get to see the Straw Hats a little bit different, but I will say Odyssey is like World Cruise, where you can on the go switch between characters for whatever the job. If it's a some small place to get through, switch to Chopper. If it's something up high you need to shoot, use Usopp. If it's steel, use Zoro to cut through it. If it's like a rock or something, Sanji or Luffy can bust through it and shit like that. Luffy uses Haki. Nami can just sense treasure on the map anywhere. So there's like a little pink animation that pops up for that. Sanji can smell fish anywhere, rare fish. So like a blue animation pops up. So it's a little bit more immersive than World Seeker.
Well, speaking of One Piece, that's something else I've been heavily on. As you guys will hear later, my things I've been watching is like super short just because it's been nothing but One Piece. I think I picked up, where did I pick up at? What's before Thriller Bark?
Ooh, Skypiea?
What's before Skypiea?
Alabasta.
I think I picked up, I picked up at Thriller Bark. That's right. I picked up at Thriller Bark. I got all the way to Dessalosa, my homie Dofi. And then I went back and watched all of Skypiea. And then came back, finished Dofi, finished Zhao, out whole cake crazy. My big mama. I can't put too much disrespect on her name.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, I can't. And now I just now have entered into Wano. Yeah. I'm trying to take a break, but it's hard just because I do want to keep going. I could tell Wano, the art style is different.
It's juicy.
You know, Zoro was the first person to say, "Hey, I know you said you've been waiting for me to try to get a pass. Just let you know, this is my moment. I'm going to shine." So I was like, "All right, Zoro, you know, I already let Sanji. Sanji's not in the club, but you know he can order to go. He can get drinks to go. I have no beef with Sanji no more. Especially after Whole Cake. So, you know now Zoro, I'm looking at him like, all right, Zoro, you know, show me what you got, my boy. This is your opportunity. These some real cats out here in these streets up here."
Man, okay, so you haven't seen anything yet, so.
No, only thing I've seen is.
Just that meetup. Did you see him fight at Hawkins?
Well, I think that's where we're at
now.
That's
where we're getting ready to go.
Okay. Hawkins just pulled up. He's the one with the cards, right?
Yeah, he's the one with the fortune teller.
He just pulled up, you know, representing that, you know, all of them are, you know, Kaido's, you know, hoe asses. And let me ask you this: does kid show up?
Yeah, he does.
I had stripped honestly, real talk, none of them got passes no more. All their passes got stripped from them.
Revoked.
Just like Kaido stripped everything from them. Kaido had them in that room, butt
naked. Yeah.
Hey, that was, and nothing against Kaido. That just shows you how aggressive he is, but right. At the same time, you know, those were some people that was talking hot shit.
And you know what,
they all busting cheeks for him now.
Hey,
what the smile on their face.
I love. Okay, here was a question. Well, I don't think you'll be able
go
to.
Ahead. Yeah, you gonna hit the question?
No, I don't think you're gonna be able to answer it till after you watch Wano, because it's people were trying to say, this is what I'm gonna give you right now: Dressrosa Luffy versus Wano Kid. That's what they've been asking. So that kind of tells you where Kid is right now after Wano. But spoilers, I already told you that. I think I've said it on the show before too, because it happened a while ago, that Shanks one-shots Kid's entire crew.
I'm not surprised. I said, I'm real talk though.
But it's
like,
Shanks though too.
Like Kaido was trying to commit suicide.
Yeah, he was.
He saw Kid
and beat his ass.
He was mad because he didn't kill himself and was like, "Nigga, I ain't got nothing to drink down here." Kid's like, "Whoa, what's going on? What's going on? Who you asking questions for, boy?"
That's right.
Hey, broke him off. You see him and his whole crew shanked up, booty butt naked. It was Kyle and I just drunk.
And you know what?
He walked over to him and was like, "All right, you hoe ass, it's your moment. You better shine. You don't shine today. Yeah, you gonna call me P. Diddy from here on out."
Diddy, he got him.
Yeah, that's some aggressive.
He clapped.
Kind of got some aggressive stuff going on up there. But I gotta respect him because you can clearly see
he's different.
For a guy who's don't like life, he is about his business.
100%.
Hey, he is about his he's about his empire. I don't know what type of money. I don't know what he's spending his sake. I guess that's the only thing I see him utilizing.
Like drink. Zorro. Hey.
Yeah, I mean, but I get. I mean, he makes a lot of money. He got the plants. He got the networks. I mean, dude's a pure underground
lord.
You know, yeah, but he don't flash it. He hates life. He's bored. I don't know. It's weird. Maybe I don't know if I ever understand that element of it. But yeah, that's where I'm at right now. That's where I'm at.
See, that ain't a bad place to be because like I know exactly how you feel. I remember around the time that this happened, I remember watching Skypiea at my mom's house. So this was at least back then. And I remember the feeling I had when this dude steps off the cloud, makes a huge body print into the ground and gets up, and Kid and them are like,
duh?
Yeah. Like looking straight up into this nigga's nuts and shit. And he was just like, hey, you pretty. Come here. When you see Wano stuff is going to be
did
really
like
good.
What you like what you saw, my boy?
You want to see more. Take this loincloth off. Wrap it around your neck.
And you got a little bit of Ace's little more of his little backstory in Wano as well. But I don't know, in my opinion, I think the question you asked me, and as of right now, this is how I answer it.
Mm-hmm.
Who is Luffy's closest friend?
Oh yeah, yeah. I forgot we asked that question too. Yeah, who do you
think?
I don't think
it's anybody on his on his crew. Yeah, I think everybody on his crew. This is gonna sound weird, but I think he's slightly not as aggressive, okay, but I think he's slightly like Griffith.
Okay.
To where Guts thought him and Griffith was like best friends.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the same time, Griffith did he would have Guts back 100%. He would kill a whole nation for Guts. But when he talked to Guts about it, you know, Griffith was like, nah, I didn't think of you as a best friend.
You're my underling.
Yeah. And I truly feel like Luffy, I think if you want to look at it, I think his best friend is probably was Ace and still is Sabo.
Okay. Like I said, your whole angle is like the brother angle.
Yeah, because every time when he gets so emotional when mentioning Sabo, even when he saw the newspaper, you know, he wasn't thinking about, hey, I wonder if Zoro and them are okay, or you know, wooty woo. He was like, hey, is there anything in there about Sabo? This is when they left Whole Cake, and you know, granted, he had Sanji with him, so you know, he wasn't worried about Sanji, but he didn't make a And granted, he got faith in his crew to an extent. He knows that, you know, they get done what they get done. But you can tell that the loss he had with Ace, the Luffy we saw whenever he found out Ace was about to die was a very, very passionate, aggressive, nothing else in this world matters to me right now. I have to get to Ace. I don't care what he thinks. I don't care what he may tell me. I have to get to Ace. And even when... So this is like the second time that they've gotten newspaper since Doffy.
Yeah.
That he has... First thing out of his mouth was like, hey, is there anything in there about Sabo? Especially now that he knows Sabo is alive. He's like, he has a concern for... And don't get it twisted. Sabo got... He got aggressive hands. Sabo is like... That boy is, even without the devil fruit, he ran up in there slapping
handing people
right.
Hey, the Revolutionary Army does not play with their training.
Yeah, so now that he got the devil fruit, you know, Sabo's on a very aggressive level, I can imagine.
Yeah.
So, in my opinion, I just see, you know, he has a unique compassion for, you know, his previous brothers.
See, that's interesting. But what you mentioned about how he reacted for Ace and Sabo, like after Ace died, He is sitting there crying crocodile tears mind. About
yeah, he was ready to kill himself.
About that.
Riley had to beat the dog mess out of him.
Jinbei had to beat the mess out of him
to, you know, even semi bring him back to making, you know, sense of the situation.
And
even then, you know, he was still
a mess.
You
know, yeah.
Yeah. But one thing me and Josh was talking about too, because Josh was like, hey, you know, if you can, when you go to Wano, you know, I know you like to prejudge people, you know, give Zoro a fair shot. Give him a fair shot at, you know, at redeeming himself.
I would say Wano is more like a Zoro. It's a Zoro and Luffy arc, kind of like Whole Cake was a Sanji and Luffy arc.
Yeah, and that 100%. That's what I can tell. That's what I have been kind of seeing coming up anyway, because, you know, Wano is, you know, a bunch of samurais to begin with. So, yeah. You know, you think of samurai, you think of a sword, automatically think of, you Zoro. Know, one of the best swordsmen in the game, Zoro. Mm-hmm. So, I'm excited to see what they give Zoro. Yeah. I think Joshi was like, so what's it going to take? And I was like,
you know, why don't you just wait until you just tell him, be like, yo, Zoro did this, and then just, that's all
that's
you
That's what I told him. I was like, honestly, I'm the whole him being lost. That's just a part of his character, just like Luffy's goofy, just like, you know, Sanji want the, you know, a bitch can come out the woodwork. Sanji, you can't trust him no more. I was like, so they all got their little, you know, the quirks. I was like, but what I want to see is I want to see Sanji had to redeem himself with loyalty. And we saw that in Whole Cake. Zoro's going to have to redeem himself and just his power, because we haven't really got to see his power since the 2-year skip. Yeah. In my opinion, the people he's been fighting have just been, you know, they've been cool, but he hasn't got to do a big move. He did that big move with Pikachu. Pika.
Yeah.
But then at the game, who's Pika? You know what I'm saying? Like, Pika didn't have credit. We just gave him credit because he had a title of Doofy's exec.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. You know, I think Triple, in my opinion, had more credit than Pika just because.
Yeah.
You know,
because Triple looked like
he was like second command, third command. He was around since Doofy was little, so it felt right to see
somebody come, you know, all the way up with him. Just like Zoro and Luffy, yeah.
Yeah, and Pika was aggressive, don't get it twisted, but it was just like, good job, Zoro. Good job. So, that's my whole kick, you know, I'm excited to see Zoro show out. And it looked like, even so far, it looked like he's already the loose cannon one. On accident, you know. I don't think he did it intentionally. Man.
When he cut the whole samurai shrine down.
Hey, but I couldn't get mad at him. Couldn't, you know, either. They were trying to have this dude kill himself.
Yeah.
I'm
a pirate, I ain't doing this shit.
Yeah, he was like, you know, I'm done with the BS, dog. And I'll bump this. I'm about to
give me that dinner knife, just like Hawkeye.
Look like trying to go on somewhere.
I'll say, like, all the stuff you're hitting on is going to show up with different characters later on. And then once you see those characters, I wonder if you, like, I'll ask you the question again, like, who do you think Luffy's best friend is? Like, by the end of this series, I feel like Oda's going to leave it aloof. But some of the stuff that you state has happened to other characters that we haven't met yet, and some we have from the past, in the same fashion that he did with Sabo and Ace. But I will say, he goes for Sabo and Ace harder than anybody else. Really, like, he always talks about his friends, but I understand what you're saying about those two, because he ain't never shed tears like that or like went comatose.
Nobody. Nah. And even when, you know, granted, they both been on some circumstances where it was life or death, you know, Ace died.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he realized Sabo didn't die.
Yeah.
So, of course, there was, you know, a very heavy emotional take. But like I said, even when Sabo left, you know, he was like, hey, Nami, you see anything about Sabo? Nah, Luffy, last thing we heard, remember the base got destroyed. But they ain't saying nothing else, though. You ain't worried about no one else?
Nah. I just found him. I got my crew with me. And I just found Saba. That's it.
The mother nigga's okay. So, you know, that's just my, you know, two cents on it.
Yeah. All right. My other question was, by the end of Wano, I want you to tell me, like, in a fight between Dressrosa Luffy, like, this is Luffy that came out with Gear 4 versus the end of Wano Kid. Who do you think will win? Kind of keep that in mind.
Oh, so if the kid that is here now, at the end of Wano, could he have beaten
Luffy back
the
then?
Luffy who beat Doffy.
Basically, Luffy three arcs ago, because it was Dressrosa,
Zhao.
Whole Cake.
Okay.
Then Zhao, and then Wano. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Honestly, man, I'm gonna this is my prediction where I'm going to say how I feel about it right now. And it may be because, you know, Kid got disrespected. You know, I think when Luffy knocked out Doffy, he's easily outside for Mihawk, easily on a different level than all those other warlords. I think Doffy, and granted, I'm biased because, you know, I got Doffy on the wallpaper now on the computer. He was a menace. Ain't nothing like someone who got Goku powers, but don't mind, you know, pulling the gat out and just blasting you in the middle of the, you know, Times Square.
That dude touched down 2 feet, and he's like, bow,
bow,
bow, bow. And Luffy was behind the bars, but I'm like, man, squeeze your ass through there like Mr. Fantastic. But Zoro and them was like, Law's getting shot. But on real shit,
They ain't never seen a real gangster like that pop up.
Doffy shot that motherfucker so quick, so many times.
Hey, on a quick. He was just like, ho ass. What y'all looking at?
Huh? You know what was, Dressrosa was an arc of, not redemption, but an arc of clarity for the world. And what would you say for the Straw Hats? It really
gave them a piece of humble pie, in my opinion.
Yeah, a little bit, but it spoke to like their achievements, though, because they came in, I would say, entering Dressrosa, especially the way that Doffy had the plan and it was a trap and stuff. They were underprepared.
Yeah.
But they all pulled out everything. And again, here comes Frankie again talking about, hey, Luffy, you know, I know what the plan was, but man, this ain't right. I can't stand for it. And Luffy's like, Frankie, don't fucking lose. If you doing
Frankie
shit, don't.
Like, oh, shit.
Yeah, Frankie.
And that's one thing I got to give a pass to Frankie and my boy Brooke. Both of them understood the original assignment.
Yep.
And it wasn't going to be done until it was done. And I had to give it to Josh. Had asked me about, you know, who all did I reevaluate passes. I was like, Brooke. I was like, boy, Brooke up in here in the club singing. He was like, you let Brooke in? I was like, I had to let the boy Brooke in because I don't think too many people would have been in that situation with Big Mama.
Mm-hmm.
And don't quiver in fear and, you know, bitch out.
Yeah.
Brooke was like, damn. Okay.
I'm the soul king, bitch.
Okay, bitch. I'm about to give it all to you. And, you know, he gave it all. Did it do anything? Hell no.
No. But at least he tried.
Hey, had Brooke looked up, laid up with Big Mama like a stuffed teddy bear.
Hey, though.
But then even after that, even what's the spoiler, but even once he got freed up, hey, they was like, hey, Brooke, we're just glad you alive. He's like, nah, what about the mission?
Exactly.
The mission was to get this. You got it?
Hell yeah.
That was the mission. Just like Frankie. Frankie, the mission was, I got to destroy the factory.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get sidetracked. I got to destroy the factory.
Yep.
Mission complete.
Yeah. When he brought that deal, he was outside all for clean at the tea party.
Hey, outside for Luffy, Franco, and Brooke so far, just for me.
And Nami?
Those are the only three people. Nami endured a lot. Now, Nami did get a big respect pass from me, like a huge respect pass, because she didn't BITCH, and I feel like no one complains if Usopp isn't there. I think they all get complaining because he's just there, and they'd be like, oh yeah, let's complain with it, because Nami didn't complain not one bit.
No.
And she was from very very very
traumatic,
where her power is very aggressive situations that she shouldn't have had to be in. And, you know, she endured it. She endured seeing Sanji and Luffy. She endured being locked up with Luffy. She endured being by herself with these people in the forest. And not one time did she complain.
Nah. And I think Wano, like most of the male characters, one arc or one fight within an arc is enough to kind of define where they are. I think Nami's was Dressrosa, Whole Cake, took a little bit of a break on Zhao, and then Wano, she comes back.
Which everybody, in my opinion, everybody took a break on Zhao. I mean, I think I was telling Josh, I feel like Zhao was just an informational arc. That's just the arc to kind of, you know, connect, to build up for Wano. Give you the, bring you back to the whole, these are pirates and they are after the One Piece. And hey, here we actually got a map to the One Piece or to the other island. So I think it was like a real informational arc. And then Josh was asking me, one other question he asked, he's like, he loved Del Rosa. He felt like Del Rosa was a really good arc, especially compared to, like, you know, Thriller Bark or Punk Hazard. And he's like, hey, you know, is Whole Cake on that level? And I was like, it's tough because I like Doffy. I liked his character. I was like, and, you know, from the moment you jump in Del Rosa, it's all about action. You get hit with the tournament.
True.
We see this back scheme that Doffy's doing. We're seeing how aggressive his kingdom is. You know, it's a lot of moving parts. Where in Punk Hazard, which I wasn't knocking Punk Hazard, but Punk Hazard was really just an introduction to, you know, Law. And, you know, Caesar and Kaido's situation and Doffy's situation. So I was like, Whole Cake is different.
Hey, Buck, keep going real quick. Talking to people. I got to go check on something outside real quick.
Are you good? One thing about, I love how Whole Cake was when I was telling him, is that Whole Cake, A, shows you that these emperors are on a whole different level than the warlords that we've been seeing Luffy had to fight. These emperors, and granted, I think someone was like, but we saw a Whitebeard. I was like, no, we saw a on life support, malnutrition, you know, Whitebeard that was ready to accept that this error is no longer, you know, got his name on it. So we got to see a weakened emperor completely shut down the Marines. But here we have Big Mama, who is 100% healthy than a mug, got her kingdom, got her stuff situated. She's not ambitious to try to get the One Piece. She's just like, hey, when it comes. So we got to see just a different power scale of an emperor versus a warlord. And I think that is, I was telling Josh, I was like, that's what makes it a lot different than Del Rosa. Yeah. I mean, I know down here in Oklahoma, just in case you guys are watching this somewhere else, we are having some storms are marching their way in right now, aggressively marching their way in. Yesterday, the Midwest was getting hit with some tornadoes, especially up in Kansas. Nebraska. There we go. Yeah, Nebraska. And right now, it looks like Wichita and North Oklahoma is getting hit, but there's some storms here in the city, actually, that are kind of ramping up. I can hear the thunder outside. So what we're going to do is we're just going to go ahead and, since Elijah's gone, maybe it's a perfect time for me to fly through this next portion. Since we've already been on the air for almost an hour long, we're going to hit you with segment two, which is not only what we've been watching, but the different things that have been going on. I'm going to save the top one, the passage of Akira Toriyama, for last once Elijah gets back. But let's talk about this. Article number one. Let me pull it up here because I actually have a... there we go. Boom. Taste Naruto's ramen in real life in Silver Lake Ramen campaign. Step into the world of Naruto in the newest collaboration with the Los Angeles-based Silver Lake Ramen restaurant franchise, where you can now, and this is a little TikTok video of somebody. I'm just going to play it. That's thick, bro. How much the price is? Damn! Hold up. Wait a minute. God. Oh, that's like $55? Hold up. Watch out. Watch out, lazy. Okay, so this one right here, we have the Naruto Classic Ramen. It comes with a soft drink. And I guess the headband for $34.99. This one comes with a t-shirt. Who drinks cola with ramen? But anyways, with the same $55. We got some big bowls, but that's aggressive. What's so crazy is, like, I remember, I mean, and this is dope because, like, we have so many different anime shops and food things popping up. We got a bunch of stuff in Dallas, in Texas, that got Dragon Ball Z foodery. Even here in Oklahoma, we got ramen shops. We got Tamashi that plays, like, anime nonstop throughout the day. So it's beautiful because back in our day, when we were, you know, lovers of anime and getting into it, we didn't have the privilege of the how much anime is just out here in the mainstream. And it's like now they realize that it's a money thing. And we see it everywhere. I just got done showing them the Naruto ramen house. And one thing I pointed out, though, that shit is expensive.
Yeah.
Did you see the prices?
No. But I
figured. Okay, I didn't think you did. Because it glazed over so quickly. I had to pause it and rewind it. I'm going to let you rewatch this to see my reaction on it. But for the classic bowl, okay? Classic Naruto bowl.
Yeah.
And your choice of Coke, soda pop, whatever.
$80.
It was $35.
Nah, you got to come then better than that.
You got the same thing. And instead of the headband, you get a t-shirt. $55.
Nobody's buying that. Nobody yeah. that understands the power of money is buying that. That's ridiculous.
That's impressive.
Yeah, that's not any ramen that I want. Like, shit, like, really? If you want to eat the ramen from Naruto or Dragon Ball or whatever, watch the fucking show and then put shit in there that looks like it. That's all there you got. Yeah. You could really just research that shit online and then put everything in there that's supposed to be in there. But nah, fuck that. That's crazy. That's too much money.
Yeah, way too much. So the next topic that we're going to hit on today is... Oh, you can go ahead and hit on it. The jobless.
All right, let me go ahead and pull this up. So for those people, because it was you and somebody else I was talking about, hang on, let me pull this shit up. There we go. Mushoku Tensei, the Jobless Reencounter. There is a console game coming out for it. So I've been seeing a lot of console games lately, and this one, I mean, really looks interesting. I'm trying to see if I could pull it up. I might just drag it over us. But if you don't know what this show is about, any isekai that you ever watch, what happens? The main character dies in the first couple seconds of the show, gets transported to a new world, and then has to live there. Most of them end up with superpowers, or they're able to do magic or whatever. And so this show has kind of hit somewhere in between a fusion of Goblin Slayer and High School DxD, and then that time I got turned into a slime, and I want to say Gate, but I don't feel like it's Gate-ish. I feel like more of, now I just fucking forgot it. The Grand Crest War. I think it's a perfect mix of.
I think the same voice actor, at least on the dub of English, is in Jobless as well. Hmm. Yeah, I like that comparison a little bit better than what'd you say before?
No, I was on one end, the kind of take your clothes off in and some of the etchy stuff. I think Goblin Slayer and High School DxD, it's a fusion between those, like a soft fusion.
I see what you're talking about. Okay,
and then the magic aspect is that time I got reincarnated and Grand Crest War. but our article comes from Anime News Network. This drops, and the game drops on June 20th. This is from the official Twitter account of Mushoku Tensei: Jobless Reincarnation, Quest of Memories, and it was announced on last Sunday. So, as we all know, anime games are amazing. They don't typically all come out on every platform, but this one will be on PS5, PS4, Nintendo Switch, PC, and Steam. Well, I said every platform. Xbox is not in there. But relive the classic story of the TV anime Mushoku Tensei: Jobless Reencounter, and also enjoy new scenarios original in the game. So it is just like One Piece Pirate Warriors 4. They hadn't landed on Wano yet, or Wano wasn't completed yet. So what they did is they gave it an all new original story. And so that's what they're doing here. You guys, if you're watching the screen, you got to see gameplay of Mushoku Tensei. How are you feeling about this game? Have you played any games like this at all?
Not really. The only anime games I've been playing heavy, that's outside of Gundam and Dragon Ball Z, is Gundam.
That's it.
Yeah, Gundam on my phone. The Gundam UC Engage. But I think this is dope. Especially since it's coming from console, it feels like, you know, for some reason console games feel like they just got a little more meat on the bone. So I'm definitely excited. Can you hear me?
There you go. Can you hear me?
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah, now I can hear you. So this was the next story that I had found the other day, and I was like, oh, this is funny just in itself. It's like my internet is not loading up.
It's out there sprinkling now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No,
it was thundering hard outside. The Andrew was like, it's raining so hard right now, I can barely see.
I had to go outside because the dogs were barking because I'm trying to sell the Nissan. And so a guy pulled up to check out what the price and stuff was.
Oh, okay. Yes. So I can't pull up the article for some reason. But breaking news. So Berserk manga is going to go on hiatus.
Mm.
Did you hear about this?
I did not hear about that at all.
Let me see if I can try pulling
it up. But it's not surprising.
No, I guess they are releasing their last episode or last chapter this week. Here we go. This was released 2 weeks ago. I can't pull it up for some reason. It says, while a new manga chapter is dropping this week, Berserk has announced an upcoming hiatus for the Band of Hawks. I don't even know where they're at in the story. It kind of intrigues me that they're calling themselves the Band of Hawks, so I don't know if the restart has already happened or what. But I ain't gonna lie, it low-key does make me want to go see where they're at.
Yeah.
I can't pull up the article. Are you able to pull that up?
My stuff is acting slow up here, too. I'm waiting for things to open up.
Yeah, I can't get comic book to open up at all.
Who's that Pokemon?
Want to hold something plump in your hands? Want to be able to scratch that pleasurable itch that just won't stop? Trying to wet your whistle and simulate your overactive mind? Well, come on down to your local adult anime shop, Explosive Doujin, because we've got everything that you've been looking for. For a couple that's trying to start a family, to an app that helps you collect F-boys like Pokemon, to busty ladies trying to help you relax throughout the day. Come on down to 1986 North Opa Drive and walk through the doors of your manga Valhalla.
Pikachu! So, they are trying to... Well, I mean, they're going to go on hiatus, but yeah, I feel like that article that I read like a couple months ago where they're like, we don't know what to do, so it's really hard to like just continue, pick up left off, so we're going to finish this arc and blah, blah, blah. Okay, yeah, I got the article. Cool. Berserk announces manga hiatus. I'll just go ahead and... Did you have any... Oh, this is a short one. Let me read all this real quick.
Okay.
So, but Berserk turned a lot of fans' heads when it was announced that the new chapter would be released this month, with Chapter 376 arriving in Japan on April 26th. It's unfortunate for fans of the Band of the Hawk that they won't get 377th installment, which is the following month, coming up May. And we had talked about this earlier as far as the guy that took over writing it saying that he wasn't sure if they were going to move forward or not and just kind of treat the April release as the last chapter. And I guess this has just been confirmed. So for those who wanted to know what's been taking place in the world of Guts and the Black Swordsman, Guts was a samurai. The series would have been would have given the brutal protagonist some major pluses and minuses recently. After years of trying to restore Casca's mind, Guts and his allies have successfully were successful thanks to the magic denizens of Elfheim. Almost as quickly as her sanity had been reclaimed, Casca was kidnapped by Griffith and his new monstrous take on the Band of Hawk. Emotionally shattered, thanks to the events that transpired, Guts didn't have much time to mourn or to think of a strategy to save the love of his life.
He was mourning quite aggressively.
As he was placed in chains and appeared to be headed east with his allies. So I didn't see the chains one. That's probably the issue that we need to go read. But Guts was crying like a bitch because his sword didn't cut Griffith. That's and in shambles, locked himself in a cabin in a boat, not doing shit.
Oh, come on. Yeah. So I don't know on that note either. That's what low key got me wanting to go check it out a little bit more.
Yeah.
I think. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, I think you froze on mine. Let's go ahead and try to move through this. Because I think it's getting worse.
It is getting worse. I can still hear us on the stream. Like we haven't lost vocals, but everything.
No, we haven't lost vocals. All right, am I frozen on yours?
No, you're moving.
Okay.
See those big Jamaican lips moving everywhere. Oh, now you're frozen.
So the next article that we got is something that I think we're both super excited for. Because I think out of all the Gundam series, G Gundam always has a special place in everybody's heart who grew up watching Gundam, especially on a 290 basis. Because G Gundam is just, it was so much different than the average Gundam. So after 30 years, G Gundam teases a new anime. Mobile Fighter G Gundam looks closer than ever to return. Return following a new tease in the 45th anniversary special stream that held on April 7th. Mobile G Fighter is looking, I think I already read that. The official Gundam channel on YouTube released the Gundam series 45th anniversary special stream on April 7th with a selection from the 42 minute and 20 second onward, marking a huge news for Mobile Fighter G Gundam fans. Sake, who voiced Domon Kashu in G Gundam, announced a new project commemorating G Gundam's 30th anniversary. He revealed the new anniversary logo before being asked by the host if it seems that he'll be getting a new story. And he replied, "I don't know anything, but based on what I have been told, there may be some in development." I even heard there's going might be like a spinoff of what happened back in the day. So
that'd be nice.
I am pretty excited about that.
Oh yeah, we've been waiting for some because it was an offshoot. A lot of people overlooked it as overrated, but
I gotta use my phone.
You gotta what?
I gotta use my phone. my Chrome browser is like done.
Dude, my shit is like crazy too. Man, that's crazy. Let's see. That was the last bit of news.
Yep.
I thought there was something else there. This computer's freezing up. But I'm excited. Like I played the Sandland demo. Like right
that's
before.
Why,
I had
yeah,
to
that's
leave.
Why I was, that's why I was saying. I don't know if you had froze, but I remember you and Josh was talking about it.
Yeah. And it's one of the works of Akira Toriyama. Like I like all of Akira Toriyama's shit. So Sandland, fucking the stuff he did for
Dragon Quest
for Dragon Ball, the shit with Dr. Slum, like his comedy and his comedy chops are impeccable. But Sandland was a nice little story to where we kind of got to see a version of Deborah, and we hear.
I saw a TikTok cut scene of that. He was kind of kicking in his. I saw a scene where he was kind of chilling on his throne watching TV. And that is Deborah, right?
No, it's Lucifer. If you look at his horns and stuff, he doesn't have the same horns as Deborah. His horns are black. It's like, you know, it's got the red skin, and then the horn itself is black, where Deborah's whole head was like red and all. Like, there's a lot of favorism.
Small difference. Okay.
Yeah. And people were talking about that before. Geekdom goes into what Deborah is and where he rules at, because he doesn't really rule hell, but he kind of is over some portion of the underworld and shit like that. So. Could be another kid of his, but I've read the whole manga, which this game goes further than. Like, the very first half is an older human who was a war hero, now turned sheriff, is asking the demons for some help. Beelzebub talks to his dad, Lucifer. He commands him. He's like, yeah, go ahead and help humans, because if we can live harmonious, you know, that helps everybody. And we're in a post-apocalyptic world where water is coveted overall, and demons, their type of fucking with humanity is tricks. They like to play tricks. But it turns out when shit hits the fan, Beelzebub is strong as fuck. And it's crazy because he's the prince, kind of downplayed.
Oh, shoot.
Gotta quit doing that underneath the desk. You're shaking shit.
Yeah, nice. Make it look so easy on Zoom.
And it's just a very different experience than what you think going into it. As far as the G Gundam, I've been waiting for another series like this for forever, because I don't know. It was just different than all the other Gundam. Because one of the first things I asked watching Gundam was like, man, how the hell you control a robot that quickly with some hand? With, you ain't even got like a PS controller. You over here, and you got little kids with their preteen arms and shit. But then Domukashi and then put on the wetsuit, and I was like, oh, okay, I know how that works. If I punch somebody in the face, it punches. But I think it adds another dynamic. Like, if Gundams reigned everywhere, why aren't there different Gundams at the same time? It doesn't have to be like a different century. Even though it takes time to build mechs, why don't some of these other planets that we're exploring end up being bases that house X amount of Gundams? Which, you know, I've been thinking about that audio drama. I think I've been back in there to write a little bit. Yeah, so I'm excited about everything that was on the list. Last thing that I really wanted to talk about before anime and manga was just like, if there's anything else that we were watching we didn't mention earlier. Because you said Ninja Kamui.
Yeah, Ninja Kamui. I was watching some more of it last night. And that is the only anime that I've started since, you know.
One Piece Journey.
Jumping off of the One Piece Journey. Temporary. I think I do want to go back to watch Solo Leveling. I want to watch... shoot, I didn't want mind blank. There's a few. Feren, I want to watch, which I actually did start that, because Josh was talking to me about it, and I was kind of like, I had said something. He was like, yeah. I was like, okay, I remember starting this, but I definitely didn't finish it. And I want to watch that Fever one. Fever.
No, I know what you're talking about.
Is it Fever?
I think so.
On Hulu? The one kind of like little Yakuza-ish?
Fable?
Fable.
Yeah.
Fable. I want to watch Bartender. I'm excited about that. The Unwanted Undead Adventurer. Kaiju number 8, of course. I think those are the top ones I got on my list.
Okay.
And I want to finish watching MASH.
What's funny? I started reading the very first chapter, like the very first book, Tokoban, of MASHL to Jessica the other day. We were chilling out. I was reading her shit, showing her the pictures. MASHL is funny as fuck, dude.
I gotta get back on that. I got a little short list that I should be able to knock out within like, you know, a week or two, and then I'm probably gonna jump back on Wano. What about you? What you been watching?
One Piece, of course. I'm back in Dressrosa.
Dofie,
Yeah, Dofi just...
Dofi's my boy, man. Like, him and... So far, it's only been him and Whitebeard that's made it to the... Like, into the club. Of course, I had to let Luffy in just because he's, you know... Luffy stands on too much business for me not to let him in.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Whitebeard and Dofi are the only ones that... Shanks is probably going to come in eventually. I just can't let him in yet just because he hasn't... There's too much mystery behind Shanks at this moment for me to just to grant him a pass.
I know you're going to let him in whenever you...
Yeah. I already got a seat for him. Yeah. I just got to... He hasn't filled out the application. He has an incomplete application, and you have to have an application to get up in here.
Yeah.
But yeah, Dofi. Yeah, Dofi was my... Dofi rolled up. I was like, oh, I see you with the feathers.
With the cape.
The breeze with the legs out. Unshaved. Okay, what you really trying to do, dog? So,
what'd you think?
You say you're back on...
Well, wait, what do you think about how he used his power, how he used the strings and the clouds, like clouds everywhere?
Oh, no, Dofi's legit, dog. Like I said, the only thing that Dofi, I had to take a point from him all was, you know, at the end, he didn't kill nobody. You know, when he was trying to, he had the bird cage, and no one died. Like, they was there to count for everybody's life.
The Straw Hats were doing their job, you know?
They did their job. And plus, he helped. The kingdom came together. Yeah, no one lost their life. So I was like, dang, Dofi.
How many stars was
Usopp? Elaborate plan did not work. You say what?
How many stars was Usopp? 5? When you put that bounty on him, that hit out on him?
Oh, yeah, he's 5-star, dog. I don't know if I can let...
You know what? All of Usopp's lies kind of come true. Like, if he's not lying, somebody's lying on him to try to make his situation worse.
It's not even about him lying that bothers me. That's not even it. It's just about, like, dog, he was real scared about being turned into a toy, which just blew my mind because he was literally on an island that everything was trying to eat him.
Well, I think also the fact that when you get turned into a toy, everybody loses their memory of you, so...
He was okay with everybody else this happening to. He was running down the stairs, dog. If it wasn't for them jumping on the intercom, talking mess, he wouldn't have came back.
That's okay. You know what? I want to say that he was always going to come back.
He was not.
He was always like, nah.
I saw it on his... I recognized that look. That was a look of like... What the hell am I doing here? And granted, I understood where he got that look from because, you know, he's a nigga.
Yeah.
So finally, you know, it kicked in and he was like, what the hell am I doing with these crazy ass people? But it kicked in at the wrong time, man. It kicked in at the wrong time. You should have
stepped up. All right. Let me say, okay. So what I've been watching since Usopp doesn't get a pass. I've been digging into One Piece Dressrosa. I think I am more so, and it's hard to kind of see where you are as far as ranking, like who's been vital as a Straw Hat. So I'm going through with like fresh eyes and like just looking from like, if I didn't know nothing, what's happening each episode. And like, I got to say, like from Punk Hazard,
Joe Rosa was not a good, that's not a good arc. It's not a good lot of Straw Hats.
It's a good showing for how they react as a team and the squad doing what they have to, because Nami and them had to head out towards, you know, Big Mama, and they were trying to go to Zao, but, you know.
See that kid?
Yeah.
That's all he was doing in Del Rosa.
That's all he needs to do. And look at him, banged up.
Running around, looking left and right.
You know what? I didn't think about this. I didn't go back and try.
It got so bad that the little dude that was riding
the little
with
girl,
him.
Yeah. She's like, you're girl, so stop, bad at directions. You're
stop
doing so
and
bad.
Beat his ass.
Dude, that was
she
the funniest.
And lay paws on him saying, you bullshit.
You know what? I just, because my first thing
at that moment,
say,
that's when I was like, damn, Zoro, come on, man. You kind of bullshit. I think she was like, nigga, I told you to go straight.
Why do you keep doing this?
Made 34 left turns,
yeah,
26 right turns, and then you went backwards and moonwalked for about 25 feet. You playing. You got to be playing. You joking. My people dying right now. I didn't tell you to turn. But you turn.
This is what I'm going to say. For Zoro, I think the last, and I hadn't looked at the last arcs, I think the reason why they gave him so much downtime is because, like, in that picture and Thriller Bark, everything else, he's always hurt, like, extremely bad or gets some kind of fucked up injury before he goes into battle. But then I was like, well, if he got if he got beat by the I forget what her name was, the Tauntaun, and she's cracking cement and stuff, he was injured going into that fight with Pika, but it didn't. No, before that, like the one that you were just talking about, how she was hitting his chest and stuff. Well, before that,
you talking about the little homie?
Yeah, she had to have, like, anybody else, she would have killed him or cracked their ribs, like smushed him up. So I was like, he is injured before Pika, but Pika still wasn't.
Yeah, Pika,
anything
yeah.
that he needed to bust out. But I do think,
honestly, real talk, Zoro was BSing that whole fight.
Yeah, he was.
He wasn't really taking it seriously, and that's what I think. That's what ends up, you know, making it an issue at the end, because it became a big issue. But yeah, Zoro technically had Pika's number from jump. He was kind of playing with Pika.
And you know how the one person he was about to show out on was Sabo when he came through the door, but Sabo immediately threw that bottle of whiskey at him. He said, "Here." He said, "Oh,
hey, no, chill out, my boy, chill out." Let me ask you this: who do you feel like would have won that fight at that moment, Sabo or Zoro?
I'm putting on Sabo.
Okay.
Because this is what we saw. We saw, or did we see? Regardless, we know that Zoro is like a step behind Luffy. There's certain times where they catch up, but the majority of the time, like, he knows Luffy's role. He leaves that guy for Luffy. He finds the next one, or the threat that's going to be vital for the crew to take down. But I think, like, Sabo's older, just like Ace was older, and he had more training. I think Sabo might.
Yeah, real talk. The training is what gives Sabo. You know, Sabo does. That's what I was telling Josh. I was like, I think Josh was like, you know, Zoro will be trained too. I was like, the issue with Zoro's training versus Sabo, Zoro is forced to train by himself right now. You know, there's no other swordsman outside for Brook on the ship, and he's already on a different level than Brook. Zoro's technically trained by himself because everybody else be kind of, you know, kicking it on the real. I was like, Sabo was fortunate enough to train with the Revolutionary Army when he was like, you know, 10. And he's been at it nonstop. And even then, he was showing how good he was even with them. They were looking at him like, dang. But no, let's talk about this. What else have you been watching? Go ahead and go back down this list.
Same thing that you want to get started on. I completed Solo Leveling. I'm reading for season 2. And it just is cool how they look at the psychology behind it. From how, like, from day one, how the main character is to, like, third episode, you notice physical changes and shit like that. But he's also had a heavy mental toll put on him. And the art is amazing. The narrative. What?
That's when those, what's that dude off of Yakuza who takes your money?
Oh,
Mr.
Shakedown, yeah.
It's when, the monkey versions of Mr. Shakedown about to shake Zoro down real quick.
Hey,
they about to shake that boy down.
I think you'll enjoy.
Are you thinking about picking up the Solo Leveling game?
I haven't even. I still need to look more into it because after that day that we checked it out, I didn't go back and watch it. But maybe if it's got enough, because the way that I feel like they made it is basically a scene by scene or chapter by chapter without any open world exploration. So I feel like it's just going to be like you meet your group in a cutscene, then you go into a cave, and then you have a path within the cave to go and fight. And I mean, really, Diablo 4 and Baldur's Gate 3 do a better job for me. So I'll take a look at it again and see where it's at. Because I try to buy the series and shit I like, but not everyone.
Yeah.
You know, I still have not beat Tokyo Ghoul yet. I got it. Yeah, it didn't do what I wanted. Is it wrong to try to pick up Girls in a Dungeon? Season 4 is where I was at. I got like 6 episodes left. I got to the main part where they find out that the animals or the monsters from the cave can be tamed and trained. And it was crazy. Like, I hated the first half of the arc because the monster that that fucking Belle finds cuts him all the time because she has long claws. And I'm like, God damn, yes, I can use a heal potion, but you didn't cut three chunks out of my skin to leave a scar. I know you didn't mean to, but I just kept thinking about having to live through that. But it's a good set. I don't agree with Josh. I think it narratively flowed really well, and the questions were answered on some of the characters. I know season 5 is going to be the big season, so I'm waiting for that. The Eminence and Shadow, I think I started
that long time ago.
Yeah, 6 episodes, and it's good because it's another isekai. Kid gets reincarnated and puts together this all-female squadron to take on like a organization he made up. Turns out the organization is real once he wakes up in this isekai world. And I think the organization that's real that he's after is the one that he created himself. So everybody's kind of like doing this Ouroboros type deal. Yeah. But it's real clever because he brings just basic science and math and stuff from this world. And some of the girls like, yeah, I remember you talking about the things that you call stores, so I wanted to build one for you. And she builds like this $1 billion industry from just a basic convenience store that they don't have in this world. And he has like this whole table full of gold. And he's like, damn, I only talked to him like one time about this shit. So all these girls on the squad have different abilities, and they're helping him out as he goes. What else? Oh, Caution, the cautious hero. The hero is too cautious. 13 episodes, completed that. That was fun. Me and Jessica both watched it. It's just like a lot of ecchi shit, but it's another sad one. It doesn't get sad.
Is it isekai too?
Yeah. It's got a weird twist on it, but yeah, overall, it's isekai. Because they call a character to save a selected world. But he can travel from the world back to the goddess's place whenever to do training and shit. And it's straight Gintama, Psyche K, and even like Saitama type shit. He goes, she tells him what the challenge is, or he sees
it. I knew his ass with my back.
No, you good. And then he goes back. He's like, okay, let's go back to your place. And then he goes to one of the houses that is empty in the god and goddess realm, and he trains until he's ready to take on that challenge. And that's all he does. Like, every threat he assesses, and he trains really, really hard. But it's got a huge twist at the end, which I won't spoil. You just gotta check it out. And the last one I was watching, Villainous Level 99. I may be the hidden boss, but I'm not the demon lord. At the time I stopped 6 episodes in, and this girl just grew up out in the woods, and she would go to a cave. Now, really, you need to go to school, find out what kind of character you are in this world. You could be a wizard, you could be a brute, and X, Y, and Z. Well, every time you go into this cave, she went as far as she could, used her magic, and then came out and did this since she was a little girl. So when she finally went to school, you touch, it's kind of like Harry Potter. You put on a hat or touch an orb or some shit, and it tells you your level. The highest level there, I think, is level 9. And this is a kid that's been trained by his dad to be basically a soldier. And this bitch come up, and she's like, level 99. And they're like, what? That level's too high. And then what kind of magic do you have? And, well, she ends up having dark magic, which nobody has. And they're like, she's lying about her level. And, you know, she gets bullied and shit, but then the king and queen notice her. And like, how can we use this bitch? Because there's never been anybody that level before. And then the story progresses from there. And all she wants to do is kind of be left alone. She's like, okay, the king and queen want to use my power. So how can I interact with them to where I show that I'm loyal? It seems that I'll come at their beck and call, but I can just be left alone. Because she's like, yeah. The king's like, yeah, she'll probably want like $1 billion or some shit like that. And then once we give it to her, we can hook her in and she'll be this kingdom's, kind of like a tailed beast. But
she ain't
having that. And so those are the series I've been watching. I think Fable that I told you about is also added on there. Go-Go Loser Rangers and the Hitman family, the Yozukura family.
I remember you talking to me about that, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm reading whatever manga is out, I'm reading as well. And then, of course, since I'm current on Kaiju number 8 and Chainsaw Man, I had to make sure to check out the episodes for Kaiju number 8. And it's just one of those series, whether it's manga, whether it's anime, it is just amazing. It just draws you in.
Is your communicator pad on the fritz? Scanning visor won't scan? Paper scrolls not scrolling? Well, have I got something for you. The Sailor Scout Combat Compact. The Sailor Scout Combat Compact comes with all of your weapons and tools conveniently in one easy-to-access compact. Each compact is especially made for your powers and abilities, so you don't have to worry about a thunder dragon coming out of your moon scepter. Order yours now at www.moonprincesspocketcompact.com while supplies last.
Let's move on to anime of the month. What do you got for us?
Anime of the month is... There we go. Anime of the month is Ninja Kamui. Kamui. That's it. I don't know. I'm tripping, dude. Former ninja Joe Hegan escaped his clan and is hiding from his violent past in the rural America. One night, he is ambushed by a team of assassins from his former organization who exact a bloody retribution on Joe for betraying their code. This is a 12 banger. I think tonight is actually the season finale, if I'm correct. Mm. It was originally released on February 10th, 2024. You can watch it on Adult Swim every Saturday night on Toonami, or catch it on Max and Prime Video if you buy the next morning. I love it. The action is beautiful. What's so crazy, I saw some people say, like, once you get halfway through, the story kind of shifts aggressively. Some people like it, some people don't. When I was watching last night, it was good. It was good. This is a really nice, well-packaged, probably one of the best. Because I don't, depending on what happens on this final episode, it looks like they're like wrapping it up. Like, it doesn't look like it's going to be another season's coming after this. Mm-hmm. I think it's just slated for 12 and that's it. So we don't get that much nowadays. You know, it's always 12 is the first season. So this is a very, very aggressive, nice AAA package deal that's just boom, here you go. And I think some people was even like, well, I feel like it's moving too fast. This is it. We only got 12 episodes. They can only drag their feet so long, but they do a good job of doing, you know, character development. The fighting scenes are so detailed. The choreography is really good in the animation of it. The way they move, the way they show or showcase speed feels really authentic and feels really fast. This is definitely once it's finished, it's going to go down in the rafters as one of the top animes of the year easily.
Nice. See, and the clips I've seen, I think I actually put it up on, which it only got like 90 some views because they banned it. They said the audio was an issue. So I was like, whatever, dude. I don't care about that. But I saw the hospital scene and then at his house and that first opening scene with old boy with the glasses.
First opening scene. Like, I mean, and that's what I love about it, because they don't waste no time.
Getting into nothing.
They're not trying to, you know, drag it out. They're not trying to waste time with, you know, let me reel you in. No, that first episode got three brutal bloodbaths and an emotional family moment. So they do a really good job of telling the story.
Building that tension and getting you drawn in. Yeah.
Then each episode ends on a beautiful cliffhanger that you just be like, oh.
And you know what? If the new generation said that the best anime in 2024, I'd be like, yeah, I can see that. This isn't just slapped together and just looks pretty.
Yeah, I can easily. Yeah. If someone was just, how much praise this one, I feel like it deserves more.
Yeah.
But, you know, for how much it did get, you know, it definitely deserves that.
Yeah, so, manga of the month following Ninja Kamui, who is your anime of the month, was Sandland. And you can find this on, I was going to say Viz Media, but it's actually Shonen Jump. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to pull up the manga, but I'm also going to pull up that trailer that I didn't get to show earlier. And the deal that I talked about this earlier, it's just a creation of Akira Toriyama's that is different from Dragon Ball, because not a core group of people have superpowers. It's all about this guy in the pink right here, Beelzebub, and the old guy in the back who is the sheriff that is coming and asking for his help. A dust up in the desert with a demon on a destroyed earth from the creator of Dragon Ball. Let's go ahead and watch this trailer. And this is the third trailer they just put out about Sandstorm that you're talking about. But the story really revolves around groups of three, which I think makes it easier to explore and showcase the world. It's Beelzebub. What's the old one's name? There's an old demon with them, which I forget his name. His name is like Trick or Trap or Joke or something like that. And then there is the old guy who's the sheriff. You also have another faction called the Swimmers, where it's their dad who used to be in the army, who's like huge and jacked. But the kids, there's one that's super skinny and one that's super fat. And he just goes on every day like, oh, we need water just to put in our body because swimming is what we were born for. And so they're just wearing like swimming Speedos and standing out in the desert. But they are also bounty hunters who chase after Beelzebub and this guy. And then the very third faction you have is the military, one of their current leading officers and like two others in a tank that are driving around the desert looking for him. The only time that you see any other characters, I think you've got like the president of the world or the area that they're in. You have a very, very old general. He's like the mercenary Tao. He got blew up, and so now he's in this machine trying to keep his body together and alive. And then you've got some other demons and some other army personnel that they kind of push in there. And it's all just about them trying to find water. And it'll be water. Got the Steve Harvey mustache. Hey, it's nice, very thick right now. But they're trying to get water because demons need water, but humans need water to survive. And so it's...
How many chapters is a manga?
I want to say like 14. It's short. That's nice. 14 or 19. Yeah, it's not a lot at all, which I thought was kind of surprising. But yeah, it is...
Especially all the other works are like long.
Yeah, and I think like Doctor,
which I'm not knocking it.
No, I just think that
I guess Doctor Slum is
That's what I'm looking at now. I want to say that I love this Shonen Jump site, but sometimes it just doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't take me where I want.
It's janky. I'll say it's janky.
You have to
remember how you got somewhere every time you jump. I'm like, how did I find this last time?
It really do on the internet. Dr. Slum has 18 volumes. And where is it at? Sandland. Let me look on my phone. It's not that many. I think it's like 14. It should be like a very quick, easy read, because that's why I've been trying to go through some of the titles that I know are shorter that have been on my backlist. Because if not, I just get stuck reading the ongoing shit. Sandland is 14 chapters.
No, you hit it on the head.
So. It's a nice read. It's exciting. It's kind of like you said, when you're talking about playing the game, playing Final Fantasy, it's like a little slice of life out there game. Through the desert, killing like all kind of like Monster Hunter 2 a little bit, because you can have a tank, a mech, or a bike. And these are just
Dragon Balls. I saw that on the demo trailer.
And then on YouTube, boom. Oh, shit. That's all right. But yeah, that's our anime of the month is Ninja Kamui. And then manga of the month is Sandland. If you have any other questions, go ahead and send them to any of the channels of the pod under Edge2Gaming. Man, Facebook just hit me up. 35 hours left. I guess when the stream fucked up. They're doing better on trying to notify you, but they notified me after this shit.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. But other than that, thank you guys for joining. Thanks for the follows. Thanks for what's up, Bart? Thanks for saying hey and everything. What titles, what anime are you guys watching? What are you excited for? And also, what anime are you excited for? I don't know if there's a live action. The live action City Hunter just released on Netflix. The live action Prince of Tennis released like a couple weeks ago. And then Retro Crush has been playing everything from Hunter x Hunter to JoJo's Bizarre Adventure and Inuyasha, so there ain't really too much else out. I'm just ready. I'm going to get my hands on Sandland soon, because it's just, they talk about sandbox games, but this one is an actual big-ass open-world sandbox game. Yeah, and it looks nice. So, what else you got to leave the people with?
Like Elijah said, follow us at AS2 Gaming. Follow us at Elijah Bailey Show. Support our sponsors, and just be prepared. We're trying to come back as more consistent and just trying to get out more content. We know this was a long episode, but it's just our first one coming back in. So once we get back rocking and rolling, get you guys caught up on everything, the show will probably go back down to where our normal time is at, and just keep rocking with us.
Yeah, there's a lot to discuss, but yeah, we'll get back there. Thank you guys so much for joining today's episode. It's 369, and there'll be many more to come. We'll catch you guys next week. I'm Elijah 5000.
I'm the Buckety.
And either catch you in chat or catch you in the stream. Peace. Hey, what's up, everybody? Elijah 5000 here. Me and the Buckety appreciate it so much that you download this show each and every week. Again, we drop every Thursday. If you're new to the Elijah Bailey Show, go to Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or Spotify, or wherever you listen to this auditorial pleasure that you get weekly, and just subscribe, rate, and review. Thank you, and I'll catch your ass in the next podcast.